You have your Bibles with you once again. I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in the chapter 3. Very well known chapter. I'm sure you all have read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to commence reading from the first verse. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord had called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and he said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose, he went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Indeed, we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. The first time, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak. For thy servant heareth. I once read a very moving story about a famous painter called Steenberg and a little gypsy girl. Steenberg, being struck with her beauty, took her to his studio and he started to paint a portrait of her. At the time he was also working on his masterpiece called Christ on the Cross. The wee girl used to watch him work on this painting. And one day she said to him, He must have been a very wicked man to be nailed to a cross like that. No, said the painter. On the contrary, he was a very good man. He was the best man that ever lived. He was perfect in every way. And he went on to say, You see, Christ died for others, and not through anything that he had done. The little gypsy girl looked at him, and she asked, Well, did he die for you? Steenberg was not a Christian. The little girl's question really touched his heart. And it awakened his conscience. And there in that studio, the famous artist got upon his knees and he asked Christ into his heart. And dear and saved friends, I say to you tonight that Christ paid the price for you, so that you might be once again united to your God and Creator. Christ died on the cross so that he could pay the price for your sin. The one whom created you, the Creator of all, he went to Calvary to die and shed his precious blood, so that you might be saved from your sin. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. The picture of salvation is the most beautiful picture ever created. That Almighty God who created you, he died for you on that wicked cross called Calvary, so that you might be saved tonight, so that you might be saved from eternity in hell. An eternity that you well deserve. And I tell you once again, dear and saved friend, there is nothing, there's absolutely nothing more important than the salvation of your soul. There's nothing more important right now as you sit in this meeting than taking heed of the call of the gospel. There's nothing more important to the person that is sitting in this church tonight in an unsaved condition than accepting Christ as your Savior. And saying, Speak, thy servant heareth. I believe in this passage that we have read tonight, The story of God called Samuel is a perfect picture of salvation. We read in the previous chapters that Samuel was born in answer to the earnest and fervent prayers of a godly mother. Hannah prayed so earnestly, and when her prayer was answered and the child was born, she called him Samuel, which means because I have asked of him of the Lord. Hannah never forgot the fact that she had asked this child of the Lord. And for that reason, she then dedicates Samuel unto the Lord. And she takes him up to the temple and said to the priest, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Who can estimate the power and the prayers of a godly mother? And it's not by accident that the Bible refers to so many godly mothers in so many instances. And dear and saved mother in the meeting tonight, maybe it's the case that you sit here and your heart is broken. That son or that daughter of yours is causing you a heartache. And maybe it's the case that they're not saved. But oh, be encouraged to the word of God tonight that God hears and answers the prayers of a godly mother. And indeed, God answered Hannah's prayers. Well, God heard and answered Hannah's prayer, and Hannah remembered all that the Lord had done for her. And she dedicates Samuel unto the Lord's work. And then, in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, we read of him as a young boy, and he's sleeping in the temple. The candles have went out, and maybe it's the case that Samuel was just starting to fall asleep when he heard a voice, and the voice said, Samuel. He immediately gets up, and he runs to Eli, presuming that it was Eli calling him. Eli tells the boy, it wasn't him, go back to bed. Samuel lays his head upon the pillow, and he hears his name called once again. And once again he gets up and he runs to Eli. Eli once again then tells him, it wasn't me. And I'm sure Eli was getting a bit fed up at this stage. I have a wee boy, and he's not a good sleeper. And I know what it's like for a young boy to come running in the middle of the night. Daddy, daddy, I had a nightmare. And he's poking you in the face. That's not a nice experience. And I'm sure Eli at this stage was getting fed up. Samuel then goes back to his bed once again. And he hears his name called again. And this time he runs to Eli determined that it was Eli calling him. Then Eli perceives that it's the Lord calling Samuel. And he tells Samuel to go and lie down. And if he hears his name called again, to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel makes his way back to the bed again. He lies down. Then he hears, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. I believe that this, if it's not the conversion of Samuel, it's certainly a true picture of God's grace unto salvation. And I do believe it is Samuel's salvation. And the thrust of this message is that God called Samuel. It was not that Samuel called God. It's not that Samuel went to God, but through God's wonderful grace and perfect means of salvation, God called Samuel. The first thing I'd like you to notice is the condition of Samuel. We're told in the first 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel did not know the Lord. Samuel was in his natural and original condition as a sinner separated from the holiness of God. As that young boy slept in the temple that night, he did so as a sinner before God. He wasn't saved. Samuel, even though he had a godly mother, even though he knew the history of his people, even though he knew the commandments, even though he lived in the temple, he still did not know the Lord. He wasn't saved. He did not know the Lord because he was a sinner. And dear and saved friend, if you're to be saved from your sin, you must realize and be convicted of the sinful condition that you're in. Scripture clearly teaches us that sin is the heritage of man from the time of his birth. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51 in the first 5. And dear friend, I'd ask you to look at these words. Indeed, may God burn these words upon your heart. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Friend, this is your condition. And the psalmist is saying that through his parents' loins he was twisted in sin. Sin that did not come through God's doing, but through the doing of his parents, and so through the doing of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And so everyone that is brought into this world other than the Lord is done with such a corrupted and twisted sinful nature. We have from birth the snares of sin in our bodies, the seed of sin in our souls, the stain of sin upon both body and soul. We're told in Romans chapter 5 in the first 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And this verse teaches us that sin is universal. That sin entered into the world by Adam was passed on to all mankind. And the evidence of sin is death. Death is a penalty for sin. And anyone that is born in this world must surely die. Even the sad fact that infants die tells us that sin is from birth. How we see proof of sin in ourselves. Who here would not be embarrassed to have their lives put on the screen for all to view? Have I asked anyone this meeting tonight, would you like the last 2 weeks put on the screen, 24 hours a day, to let all the people see? Who would not be embarrassed? But then I must warn you tonight, there's a punishment for sin. Not only physical death, but also a spiritual death and eternal death. And if you die in your sin, you will spend an eternity in hell. You'll spend an eternity in suffering like you've never experienced before. A suffering that the human mind can't even comprehend. You'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God, separated from holiness, separated from God for all eternity. How we read of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man dies and Lazarus dies. And immediately upon his death of the rich man, he opens his eyes and he's in hell. And the torment is too much. And he asks just for a drop of water upon his tongue. He can't bear the pain. And friend, if you die in your sin, this is a place where you're going. If your heart was to stop right now, indeed if your life was to end and you're not saved, this is the place that you'll spend an eternity in. Oh, hell. The human mind can't even comprehend it. Suffering. Then I'd like you to notice from this picture of salvation is Samuel's ignorance. As Samuel lay there upon his bed, he heard the call of God, but he did not recognize it. He thought it was Eli. When Samuel heard the call of God, what did he do? He looked to man. And how this is the case with regards to those who sit under the sound of the gospel week in, week out. The general call of the gospel is heralded from the pulpit. But instead of men and women and young people looking to Christ, they look to man and they're ignorant of the call. Could there be those in the meeting tonight? And you know better than anyone that you need to make that decision for Christ. And you've heard the general call of the gospel, but you're afraid of asking the Lord into your heart. You're afraid of what that friend will say. You're afraid of what that boyfriend or girlfriend will say. You're afraid of what that husband or wife will say. You're afraid of what your work colleagues will say. Maybe it's a case that you're a quiet person. You don't like a fuss. Your nature is to avoid any hassle. You're afraid of being ridiculed. Maybe it's a case, dear and safe friend, that right now you're considering to give your life to the Lord. You know that you need to be saved, and as you sit there, and how many a night I sat in the same condition under my father's preaching, and I knew what my father was saying was right. I knew that I wasn't saved. I knew that I was just a heartbeat away from hell. And as I sat there and I considered what I needed to do, my friends held me back. Oh, how stupid was I. How stupid was I. I looked to man. I looked to the world. But I didn't look to Christ. Oh, why don't you look to Christ tonight? Forget about your friends. We're told the fear of man bringeth many a snare. And it might be the case that you'll lose some of your friends. It might be the case if you become a Christian that you might suffer persecution. But would it not be better to leave the enemies of God and be persecuted than to remain an enemy of God? What profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And I ask you this from the bottom of my heart, what has this world possibly got to offer you? More than your soul. What are you willing to go to hell for? Ask yourself that question. Is your friend worth going to hell for? Is that boyfriend or that girlfriend worth spending eternity in hell? Oh, look to Christ tonight. Forget about your friends. Forget about the world. But look at your own need. The need of the salvation of your soul. Then I want you to notice the place and where Samuel heard the Lord calling them. He was found in the house of the Lord. The place and where the Lord dwelt, we're told in the first three of this third chapter. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, and where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. What a privilege this young boy had. To be brought up in the house of the Lord. To be brought up where the Lord dwelt and under the instruction of God's word. And so there are those in the meeting tonight who've had the same privileges. You've been brought up under the teaching of God's word. You've been brought up in a Bible teaching church. You've been taught the word of God since you were a child. But yet, after all these privileges, you're still ignorant of the call of the gospel. You have a minister who has faithfully preached the gospel week after week. You've had the privilege of having a saved Sunday school teacher. You've attended the youth fellowship, and I have no doubt the youth leader is a saved man or woman as well. I know, indeed, the Sunday school teachers, that dear sister in Christ, has taught you the word of God. You've heard the gospel. But yet, despite after all these privileges, you're still not saved. You're still in that sinful state that will damn you into a Christless hell. And I want to ask you this question. And tell me this, dear and saved friend. If you're still not saved after all these privileges, when are you going to get saved? Does it not fright you that after sitting under the gospel for so long, that you're still not saved? Add it up. How many times have you sat under the gospel? Literally thousands of times. And if truth been told, you've come into God's house tonight, and you've absolutely no notion than listening to what I'm saying. You've no notion of listening to the call of God. And you're going to leave this building rejecting Christ. Let me tell you something. You're not saying no to me. You're not saying no to the Reverend Park. You're saying no to the Lord. Even though through this mysterious heavenly appointed way of God, using the means of man preaching the word, it's not by the skill of any man's preaching ability, but it's through the full counsel of God's word. The general call of the gospel is through the preaching of God's word. It's God's word. And each time you leave this building undecided for Christ, you're saying no to God. And each time you leave this building, your heart gets harder and more rebellious. And finally, with this I close. I want to look at the salvation of Samuel. Samuel heard the call of the Lord three times, but did not respond. But then it was revealed unto him by Eli that it was the Lord calling him. So Samuel went back to his bed. This time he heard the name called twice, and he heard, "Samuel, Samuel." And he knew it was the Lord. And what a picture of God's wonderful grace through that heavenly official call of God. It wasn't that Samuel went to God first, but it was the Lord who sought Samuel. And dear and dear friend, I say to you tonight, the salvation is of the Lord. It's through the grace of God that men and women come on to Christ. And the Lord came to this earth to die on that wicked tree. It was not of any good thing of man. It was not that any deserved salvation. But it was through the heavenly perfect plan of redemption. And it's all of God's wonderful and perfect grace. when they spat upon the Lord, it was of grace. When they mocked our Savior, it was grace. When they whipped him and tore the very flesh off his body and placed that crown of thorns upon his brow, it was grace. When they eventually hammered those old rusty nails into his feet and hands and crucified him, when they thrust the spear into the Lord's side and he shed his perfect and heavenly blood for a sacrifice for his sin, it was all of grace. It was nothing that you'd done to deserve it, but it's a wonderful grace of God. We're told in Ephesians chapter 2 and the first 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God." And when God called Samuel, it was the effectual call of God. It was an irresistible call. But yet, despite it being effectual and irresistible, there was still a responsibility for Samuel to respond to the call. 5 times the Lord had called Samuel. And the Lord only stopped calling when Samuel responded and said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Let me tell you something tonight, dear friend. There is a need to respond to the call of the gospel. And I ask you tonight, what is your response going to be? Maybe you've heard the call of the gospel tonight, but it's been different. God has opened your eyes to what sinful creature you are. Maybe after all these years sitting in this church, that the word of God has spoke to you tonight. Maybe it's a case that this message has been personal. And how you felt that there's nobody else in this meeting other but you and God's word. And God speaking to you directly. And this message is for you. I remember the night I got saved. I walked into that church in Porto Vogue. And I had no notion of listening to what the Reverend Hart was going to say that night. But as he started to preach, I felt as if there was nobody in the meeting other but me. I felt the Lord, indeed I knew the Lord was calling me personally. Oh, my eyes were opened. I realized what sinful creature I was before an all-holy God. I knew the sin within my life. And maybe this is a case for someone in the meeting tonight. Dear young person, oh, I love you. I want to see you saved. Is the meeting different tonight? Is God's call different tonight? Do you feel God's calling you by name? What is your response going to be? Can you say, as Samuel did when he heard God speaking, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth"? Or are you going to leave this building yet once again, dead in sin and trampling under the blood of Christ? What a terrible thing. This could be the last time that you hear God calling. We're told in the book of Genesis, indeed our brother mentioned it, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You might never hear God calling again. For all you know, this very night could be your last night in this earth. Therefore I plead with you, listen. Listen to your friend and respond to the call. D.L. Moody, in his early days in Chicago, there was a man who regularly attended his meetings. In fact, the man had sat under Moody's preaching for quite a considerable time. Mr. Moody had reported that he thought the man to be under conviction for quite a long time. Mr. Moody, one night after the gospel service, met the man and he urged this certain man to accept Christ as his Savior. The man replied that he couldn't just do it right now because his business partner and his associate friends would ridicule and mock him. And there's too much riding on those friends. Mr. Moody continued to urge this man to come to a decision for Christ. And the man got so annoyed with Mr. Moody that he stopped attending the church. Then one day the man's wife came to Mr. Moody's house. And she said, "Mr. Moody, my husband is very ill. The doctors are saying that he cannot possibly live. Won't you come around and speak to my husband before he dies?" D.L. Moody, he hurried home and found the man ready to listen. And there D.L. Moody brought the man to the point of a decision. And the man at that time seemed to accept Christ. To everyone's surprise, the man recovered from this terrible illness. And Mr. Moody went around to visit the man. And during his visit, Mr. Moody said, "Now God has been good to you and raised you from your deathbed. So as soon as you're feeling better, I would like you to come and make a public confession for your acceptance to Christ." The man then responded, "No, Mr. Moody, I cannot do that. For my business partners, my associate friends would ridicule me and make fun of me." He went on to say, "I'm going to move away. I'm going to try to get away from them. And then I'll make a true decision for Christ." Just a week after that, the man had a relapse. And D.L. Moody was called again to visit the man. The dying man said to Moody, "I don't want you to talk to me. It will be no good. I've had my chance and I've thrown it away." Mr. Moody quoted the verse, "He that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out," and asked, "May I pray with you, sir?" The man cried, "No, no, it won't do any good." D.L. Moody, at the side of the man's bed, sunk to his knees, and he knelt to pray. But he found that he couldn't. And there was that man, died. There was that man, went out into Christ's eternity. He kept repeating the words, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved." No hope. No hope. It was too late for him to make his decision for Christ. He had said no to God the final time. And I wonder, is there somebody in this meeting tonight and you're going to say no to God for the final time? This is your last opportunity. It is time to seek the Lord. Oh, can you hear God calling? Why don't you respond tonight and ask the Lord into your heart? "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth."